Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, dudes and dudettes. Welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight. I am your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. Thank you for joining me this evening. I am a part of the withinsightsradio.com network, which includes Chief Iggy Garcia and many other people, many other shamans. I'm sorry, something distracted me there. I get that. I don't multitask well, and I'm also very easily distracted, a very bad combination. I was telling you about withinsightsradio.com and the network of light workers, if we want to use that term. Actually, most of the people involved in it now are shamans of some extraction. We do have, I believe we still have an astrology show on Friday that would have been today. Not today, because today is technically Saturday now. But you can take a look at, rather than listen to me ramble about it, you can take a look at withinsightsradio.com, which has descriptions of all of our various shows and all of our various people. And you might also want to keep in mind that this is listener-supported radio. So when you get to the website, there'll be a little button for you to click. Please give generously if you feel like it. So anyway, this is my show. A little bit different probably from the other shows here on the network. My calling is as a healer of society, and my tools of the trade are the written and spoken word. And since my writing machine has been broken for a little while, it's been mostly just me talking. And my frame of reference, is my life, my everyday experiences. So that's what I talk about. What can happen is, sounds suspiciously like me whining about my everyday life. I do get that sometimes the whine machine gets going and Mud Toe starts to whine. And it's not pretty, but there are sometimes things to be learned, at least for me, maybe not for anybody else. But all I can hope is that my words, the words that I say here on the show, reach someone who needs to hear them. I really try to keep it positive. I hope that it will end up positive. I hope that the spirit will lead it in that direction. And I try my best to be led, to allow myself to be led by spirit, to not just say filling my whatever need it is that I may be addressing in myself at the current moment. I've really, really lost the thread on this. I had a very clear idea of what I wanted to say before the show started, and then I got distracted, and now I just don't have any clue where I am. So I try every few shows to just hook people into who I am and what I'm doing here. But today, not one of the better examples. So I'm talking here, and hoping that somebody somewhere is listening and say, hey, that sounds like something that applies to me, and I don't know whether it's even a similar situation to what I'm talking about, if it's even the same situation at all. But I hope that spirit will lead me, spirit will put the words in my mouth, as our Christian friends might say, and get them out there on the air, midnight Eastern time on Fridays or Saturdays, depending on how you look at it, here on Blog Talk Radio with InsightsRadio.com. So that's that. Now, let me tell you a little bit about what's been going on here. In my very large city in the Midwest, my springtime job ended some time ago. And in fact, I just found out this week, it has ended forever. The testing center where I was grading the graduation tests for the high school seniors here in our state, the testing center is closing, or the grading center is closing. So they will not... That they will go someplace else. They'll go to, I'm presuming, the central processing center in Minneapolis to be done, rather than being done here in their home state, which is just something that seems to be happening. Work just seems to be sent away from where it's being generated and being processed someplace else and sent back. And I suppose there are advantages to that, but I don't know about it, whether what really makes a whole lot of difference that graduation tests be graded in the state where they're generated. But it certainly is nice that nice for that activity to perhaps generate jobs in this whole state instead of generating jobs someplace else. But in any case, the opportunity isn't going to be there anymore, so I'm going to have to look for a different spring job. Of course, the ultimate is to find a job, one that doesn't go away with the seasons and doesn't shift, you know, one that would just be sort of the same one that I'd go to every day, and it would pay me enough money that I could pay my bills, and I could, I would have some time to concentrate on this shaman stuff. But I think the scarcity of resources actually sort of enhances that shamanositude, because I don't know a wealthy shaman. So maybe that ease that comes with knowing what's going to happen with each coming day sort of goes against the spirituality that I'm looking at, the spirituality that I ascribe to and that I seek to know better myself. So, you know, you try not to worry about it, but I do worry about it because I got to put food on the table. I still get quite a bit of help from my parents, but they are both in their late 70s now. I do hope they will live for many more years, but when I lose one or both of them, then that's a crutch that I don't have anymore. So while one tries to look ahead without looking ahead, you know, you don't want to just, I don't think devil may care is really what the effort is, but at the same time, you know, preparedness is, one can obsess on that too much as well. So it's been a resume writing week. It's been a cover letter writing week. And it's been a, God help me, internet, apply, you can apply on a website, that kind of week. I applying on the website, just it's maybe it's a generational thing, maybe it's just a me thing, but I have yet to, I can't say that. What I was going to say was I have yet to successfully complete an internet application. I did complete an internet profile for the university that I used to work for. I was trying to get another job with them. I was able to stick to that long enough to get the profile filled out. And I applied to numerous jobs through that before finally becoming totally frustrated with it last year. At a time when there were four jobs that I thought were perfect for me, and I applied for them all and didn't get a reply, even a reply for one. Not that I didn't get an interview, I didn't even get a reply. So after several months of brooding about that, I decided that all things work out for the best and proceeded to my spring job that doesn't exist anymore. And it's only now that I'm starting. It had been over a year before I had, since I had even applied for any sort of full-time job. So, and you know, really, I haven't applied yet. I'm still working my way up to it. I'm working with another job counselor. A couple of years ago, I had a job counselor, and that didn't go very well. And now I have a new job counselor, and it's not really going very well either. It's kind of a, you know, he downloaded a resume off the internet for me and filled in the blanks. You know, I could have done that. You know, it's like, I think this is going to sound like I'm tooting my own horn, but I think that's no, I'm not even going to say it. I'm going to dismiss that thought entirely. Not even. That was a quite not spiritual tooting my own horn thought, but it doesn't need to be a part of the show. So I'm going to let that pass, as the Buddhists. That was a thought, and I'm letting it go. Alrighty then. How far along are we now? How much time have I wasted? I have to tell you something first before I can do Shaolin Tarot. Okay, now I remember where I was. Good. I backed around. I've come backwards into the line that I was pursuing. One thing that happens when I start to get frustrated or bored. And there's sort of a syndrome, part of the sickness of spirit that I fight day by day, is again that boredom and that feeling that nothing is ever going to change. And what can sometimes happen is I'll engage in some dangerous behavior. For, unfortunately, I guess it would be for me, living here now in the depths of my very large city in the Midwest, opportunities for dangerous behaviors are quite a bit. It's a lot easier for me to get into trouble where I live now than it was where I lived last year. I can find trouble if I want to. Now, I haven't really seriously been looking for it yet. All I've been doing is walking under the guise of mine. You don't have to go out and get walked because I need exercise. And I walk, you know, at twilight because it's cooler. And, you know, I might as well walk over in that direction, you know, because I know those streets. But I know the streets that go there are neighborhood streets, and it's a nice neighborhood. It was once, you could tell, a very, you know, thriving, teeming, family-oriented neighborhood, and great houses from the 20s, 30s, and 40s. I love the types with the detached garages that face an alley that go sort of through the middle of the block. And there's still a lot of them, you know, still families in a lot of those. And I feel comfortable walking. There's no danger there, really, no more than you would face ordinarily anywhere else. I guess what's the difference about it now than, say, 30 years ago is that about every third house is vacant because slowly, I don't even know about slowly, but this, you know, this neighborhood is an abandoned neighborhood. People have left. But this was once, you had a beautiful high school, and I talked about the architecture and lots of businesses and big car dealerships. Some of the biggest car dealerships in the town were located down here, you know, towards the center of the city. No, all that's gone now. All of them have moved out to the burbs, and lots of people are moving out with them. And then with all these vacant houses, you get criminal activity, drug activity, and, you know, lots of police presence and houses boarded up and people not wanting to move here. So, I mean, there's lots of families still here probably because it's cheaper. And I met, you know, some very nice people and a neighborhood that I have no qualms about moving around in. But I can walk about three blocks to the south of where I live, probably the seediest neighborhood I have ever had direct access to in my life. I mean, as there have been lots of places I've ended up when I've been traveling that weren't so good, but one in Washington, D.C. particularly. But, oh, you know, the place where I lived, and every day within walking distance of my front door, this seedy type neighborhood. And I walk in the evening at twilight, and then it starts to get dark. And I'm there at a time when maybe decent law-abiding citizens shouldn't be there. But I have been there, you know, quite a few times since I've lived there here, and just, you know, walked up and down the streets and absorbed what was going on around me. And I've been mostly, I won't say discounted. I don't think that's the right word, but it's not the word I want. I'm basically invisible, I think. I'm like the Borg, or they're like the Borg. You know, I'm not a threat, so they don't perceive that I'm there. But, you know, a couple times I've had people want to come up and talk to me, and I'm quite sure it's not something that I really want to hear. You know, it's not just it's a solicitation, solicitations for various different things. Sometimes it's give me money. Other times it's things are being offered in exchange for money, and I make it a point to not carry anything with me while I'm out on these little sojourns. But it's gotten frightening at times, and, you know, I've had to walk away very quickly at times, and people have persisted I haven't felt yet that I've been in physical danger, but I do feel that it's something that might happen if I keep doing it. So this would normally be the kind of thing that would require a meeting. Like I find a meeting, but I'm not sure what kind of a meeting I would find. I mean, it's not the thing. Any kind of meeting, I'm talking about a 12-step meeting, and one of the problems with 12-step meetings is you go to, they're very sort of compartmentalized. You go to an AA meeting and they want to talk about alcohol addiction. They want to talk about other issues that you might have. Ditto for Narcotics Anonymous. Ditto for Cocaine Anonymous. Ditto for Sex Anonymous. Those, anything that's any anonymous that you can think of, you go there and they want to kind of talk about that. They don't want to talk about other things. It's not a therapy session. It's made very clear in the end, the little thing you recite at the beginning. It's not therapy. It's a forum for sharing experience, strength, and hope. And I'm just not terribly sure where I find experience, strength, and hope on the topic I was just discussing. Where is Walk in the Streets at Night Anonymous? Where is that particular group? So, tell you what, I've been having such a wonderful success with, did I beep you there? The phone's doing strange things. I'm using headphones today. I'm with my phone for the first time, so the way I'm using it is different, and the light went off, and then I beeped it. Okay, got distracted again. What I did was I picked my Shaman Tarot card, and the topic was dangerous behaviors, guidance on what I do. What do I do about these dangerous behaviors? Because unlike certain other things that have dogged me in the past, you know, we'll just take alcohol as an example. I was never really sure that I wanted to give up alcohol. I think it's been good for me that I did, but it was never 100% in my mind, I must give up alcohol and I will be happier when I do. This is different. I need to stop this. This is something that needs to be, this is a behavior that needs to be interdicted. I don't think this is something I've really, I mean, this is something that I've experienced when I was younger, but in a different, you know, not in a way that I really thought that, you know, something actually might happen to me. So, I guess it's gotten dangeroser, and, now it's gotten to the point where I don't know, where do I go? Where do I go for an intervention for that? And unfortunately, I don't have internet at home. So I don't even have that as a crutch to go into, or as a tool. Let's call it a tool, not a crutch. It can be a crutch is a little bit unfair. As a tool to find, you know, who in this great city might I be able to talk to about that? And probably some sort of crisis line would do. I don't have access to my counselor except during the week, and then usually I don't have access to her during the week either. She just leave her voicemail. Okay, so what did I do? Well, who can I call? I can call Shaman Tarot. So I did my usual thing, and I shuffled three times and picked out the card, and here's what I got. Shaman Tarot is just really messing with me for the last 3 weeks. There's just something missing, and Mudtoe's just not picking up on it. But the card I got is the King of Stones, and his name is the Spirit of the Pure Waters. And he is, okay, here's, sorry, I got to manipulate the phone and the book at the same time. I was really hoping these new. I do have my new lenses now, but they don't seem to be. It's the light is what the problem is today. I don't have enough light. A jovial man with a. I literally cannot read this. if you can get over here closer to the computer, the screensaver is running. Perhaps that will give me enough. Okay, he is a jovial man with this is just so. It's hell getting old. I literally cannot read this book. It's tiny printing, and I have not enough light in this room. And I have text. I read it earlier. It says, and I must have been standing up next to it. Maybe that's what I'm going to have to do. Let's try this one more time. A jovial man with an I'm sorry, I'm going to have to give this up. Well, anyway, I'll tell you what it looks like. Anyway, it's he's an old gentleman, you know, old long white beard, long white hair, very muscular though. Interesting how that happens. He's in native dress, carrying a scepter, and he's riding the back of a turtle, a very old turtle, you know, those very big ones. And he's wading through the water, and there's some tropical vegetation behind him. And I remember from one of the things in the description was that he's about being good for business and making deals. And I'm like, where the hell does that fit into my question? I don't want to do business and make deals. I want to get the hell out of there. I want to not go to business and make deals. What is this dude telling me, except possibly that I need to go someplace else? You know, take my turtle and get the hell out. Well, I kind of already knew that. I'm looking for how I facilitate that. Well, the thing that the dude is riding here is a turtle. So what, as I said, I need to take my turtle and get out of there. So what is my turtle? And it must be something other than sort of the obvious pathways that haven't worked for me for whatever reason. Because, you know, I'm thinking of 12-step because that's what I'm used to. Maybe I need to be thinking in some sort of different direction. Maybe, you know, is it a shamanic spirituality that I'm just not, something I haven't explored with my circle here before? Likely, I mean, that would be very likely to be true because I haven't really ever talked to any of them about this before. This is a part of my experience that I've kept very much to myself. So any guidance that they or anyone might be able to give me has just simply not been available to me. And, you know, one also thinks of the turtle as being slow and deliberate. So perhaps the message there is that, you know, my wish is for, you know, give me something that will take this away. Like, I remember feeling that way when I first embarked on 12 steps. One thing that will take this away, and there's a thing called the nine step promises that I heard the very first time I was in a meeting. And it was about, there's a passage in there about your fear of everyday things being taken away. And that's what hooked me in. That's what got me going to 12, because that's what I wanted. And, but my first thought in hearing it was but they'll be swept away, and, you know, I'll be a regular, normal person without these distractions and dangers. And, of course, it wasn't like that. It takes a lot of work and a lot of time to make a program go. Maybe that's the message here, is that I'm not looking, I was going to say shouldn't, that I am, in fact, not looking for the panacea, the instant, total, global, universal cure, because it's not going to happen, because it doesn't exist. I'm looking for the slow, deliberate way. And slow doesn't mean, I'm not talking about tapering off. That's not what I mean by slow. Because I mean, the immediate thing that has to happen is I need to stop doing that. I need to stop putting myself in dangerous situations.
So there needs to be an intervention. But then an intervention is then replaced by a permanent solution. And the permanent solution is the thing that's slow, deliberate, going through the steps. To use that example, going through the possibilities. What is behind this? You know, I assume it's boredom. I assume that it's frustration. Is it boredom and frustration, or is it something, or is it what's behind the boredom and frustration that needs to be attacked? That's another of the major shortcomings of 12-step is that it pays no attention at all to causes. Not interested in causes at all. Just follow the procedures and don't drink. Or don't do whatever, you know, whatever the 12-step thing is. Speaking only for myself, I always thought it would be easier for me to stop if I knew why I was doing it. And maybe in some ways that's true, and other ways I've found it really wasn't true. Knowing what was behind my triggers didn't always diffuse them. Often it did. Often it didn't. So kind of the way that I was sitting in that first AA meeting, I had to go. I was directed to go because in order to get out of the hospital, I had been staying as a guest of Richland County in their psychiatric ward because I stumbled into their emergency room at 4 a.m. one morning about actually coming up on the anniversary of that. I don't know exactly the date, but it was in late August. I stumbled into their emergency room in 2007, so we're coming up on 8 years ago, and told them I wanted to kill myself. And that got me a spot in the observation room. And I was admitted and spent a little bit of time in there. And in order to get out, you know, when I decided, okay, I'm not actually going to commit suicide, can I leave now? I had to make an agreement in order to get out. And one of the things I had to do was start going to AA meetings. I reported some issues with alcohol. And so I went. You know, I went to check it off. You know, so, I went. And I heard those words about the ninth step promises, and that made me want to continue coming back. And there was a period of time because I wasn't working. I lost my job. I had nothing to do. I was doing 4 or 5 AA meetings a day just to have something to do other than go out and get into trouble. And the trouble wasn't just alcohol, but, I mean, that was the thing that was most readily available was the 12-step meeting. Maybe that is something that I have to integrate into it, you know, just to sit and listen and give me something to do. Because, you know, last night, Thursday night, I went to a play. A friend of mine asked me to go to a play with her. And went and saw it. It was an outdoor play, and those are always fun. It was Molière and big, very funny and big happy ending and all that. And when I got home, you know, I took a shower. I had a little bit to eat, and I went to bed. I didn't have any thought of going out and looking for trouble. But tonight, you know, with nothing like that to do, that's what happened. So obviously there are at least interdictions that can be pursued. And, well, I'm into my last minute now. I didn't get to walk in dry places, so I'll make sure to do that next week. I do thank you for listening. This is, again, these shows get personal. And, again, I can only hope that there's somebody out there maybe having the same struggle or a different struggle that somehow these words might apply in some way, because otherwise it's just me whining and that doesn't do anybody any good. But thank you again for listening. Please come back next week. I'll have more for you, maybe something happier. I'll work towards that. But in any case, I'll be here, and if you're here, we can share a wonderful experience again. Thanks again for listening, and have a pleasant good evening.